This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How comparing yourself to others corrupts self-awareness. Why measuring yourself against others quietly destroys your ability to see yourself clearly. In short, comparing yourself to others corrupts self-awareness by replacing your internal compass with borrowed standards. The damage is rarely visible until your self-knowledge is already hollow. You stop asking, "What do I think?" and start asking, "How do I rank?" Your self-assessment shifts based on who is in the room, not on what is actually true. The habit feels like self-improvement. That is precisely why it is so dangerous. Definition: comparing yourself to others is the practice of measuring your own worth, ability, or progress against other people rather than against your own values and history. Done habitually, it replaces genuine self-knowledge with a moving, external standard that tells you nothing reliable about who you actually are. When self-knowledge feels fine, but isn't. A colleague of mine, a capable manager with 15 years of experience, was convinced he understood himself well. He could name his strengths without hesitation. He knew his weak points. He had been through 2 rounds of leadership development and come out confident. Then his organization hired someone younger, sharper in certain areas, and well-regarded almost immediately. Within 3 months, my colleague's self-assessment had quietly shifted. He started describing himself as not naturally strategic. He began deflecting credit. He grew hesitant in rooms where he had once been assured nothing real had changed. His abilities were identical, but comparing himself to others had replaced a self-knowledge with a ranking, and he had no idea it had happened. This is how comparing yourself to others corrupts self-awareness. It does not announce itself. It slips in wearing the clothes of honest reflection, and by the time you notice, your picture of yourself has been redrawn by someone else's outline. Why this pattern is so easy to miss? Here is the truth of it. Comparison feels like information. When you are uncertain about your own standing, measuring yourself against a peer delivers a fast, clear answer. It feels grounding, purposeful, even rigorous. That is the trap. The comparison is answering a question about rank, not a question about self. You're learning where you sit relative to someone else, not learning anything real about your values, your growth, or your actual capacity. Because it mimics self-reflection, the corruption goes unnoticed for a long time. People who do this most compulsively often think of themselves as highly self-aware, because they're constantly scrutinizing themselves. The scrutiny is real. What is missing is the internal reference point. 6 ways comparison quietly dismantles self-knowledge. 1. Your strengths become relative, not real. What it looks like: you can only describe a strength in comparative terms. I'm better at presenting than most people on my team. I'm one of the stronger writers here. The strength only exists in relation to someone else. Why it happens: when comparison is your dominant tool for self-assessment, your brain stores strengths as rankings rather than as real, observable abilities. Why it matters: relative strengths collapse the moment the comparison group changes. Move teams, change companies, enter a room with stronger people, and the strength vanishes from your self-concept entirely, even though nothing about your actual ability has changed. What to do? Write 1 strength in absolute terms this week. Not better than, but I am able to. Describe what you can do, specifically and observably, with no reference to anyone else. This builds self-knowledge that travels with you. Eamon's note: I spent the first decade of my working life thinking I was a strong communicator because I was clearer than the people around me. I was not clear. I was just the least unclear person in the room. That is a very different thing. 2. Your self-assessment changes based on who is present. What it looks like: you feel more competent in some meetings and less competent in others, not because the work changes, but because the people change. Your self-perception fluctuates with the room. Why it happens: if your internal compass is calibrated to others, your sense of self is, in effect, crowdsourced. The crowd shifts, so the reading shifts. Why it matters: this is one of the clearest signs of corrupted self-awareness. A reliable self-concept is stable across contexts. If yours moves when the cast of characters changes, it is not yours, it belongs to the room. This also makes you easy to undermine with a single strong hire or a confident new voice. What to do? After your next significant meeting, write down 3 things you believe to be true about your performance that day, before you look at anyone else's reaction. Ground your assessment in your own observation first. Eamon's note. The moment someone walked into the room who was better at something than I was, my sense of myself in that area would deflate like a punctured tire. I thought I was being humble. I was being hollow. 3. Outperforming others feels like personal growth. What it looks like, you feel genuinely better about yourself when peers struggle or when you beat someone to a milestone. The relief is real, and so is the brief sense of clarity about who you are. Why it happens. When external ranking is your feedback loop, other people's setbacks deliver the same neurological reward as your own progress. Your brain treats above them as equivalent to improving. Why it matters. This is the non-obvious one. Most people assume comparison is only damaging when they come out worse. But when you feel more self-aware in the moments you're outperforming others, you've built your self-knowledge on a foundation that requires someone else to fail. That is not self-awareness. That is scorekeeping. What to do? After any win, ask yourself what specifically improved in your own practice to produce that result. If you cannot answer without referencing what someone else did, your sense of growth is borrowed. Eamon's note. I am not proud of how good it felt, early in my career, to be the one still standing when others stumbled. It took years to see that their stumbling told me nothing about my own ground. 4. You cannot evaluate your work without a benchmark. What it looks like. When asked to assess your own output, your first instinct is to ask how it compares to someone else's. You feel genuinely unable to judge your work as good or poor without a reference point. Why it happens. Years of comparative self-assessment means you've never built a personal standard. The internal ruler simply was not developed. Why it matters. This leaves you dependent on context for your own judgment. In novel situations, when no comparison is available, you freeze. In new roles or industries, your self-assessment becomes unreliable precisely when you most need it to be steady. This directly undermines the confidence-competence connection that drives real development. What to do? Build a personal quality standard for one area of your work. Write down what good looks like for you, specifically, based on your own values and experience. Use that as your first measure before you look outward. Eamon's note. The day I stopped asking is this better than theirs, and started asking does this meet what I know to be good, was the day I began to trust my own judgment. 5. You minimize what others cannot see. What it looks like. You quietly discount your own growth in areas that are not socially visible or easily compared. Internal development, private discipline, depth of understanding, these feel less real to you because they are harder to rank. Why it happens. If your self-concept is built on comparison, invisible progress generates no signal. It does not register as meaningful growth because there's no one to compare it against. Why it matters. Over time, you stop investing in the kind of growth that matters most because it produces no comparative reward. Your development becomes increasingly surface level and audience facing, which is the opposite of genuine self-awareness. What to do? Identify one area of real internal growth in the past year that was invisible to others. Write it down in full. If you struggle to name one, that is itself important information about where comparison has taken you. 6. Feedback from others reshapes your self-image immediately. What it looks like. A single piece of critical feedback shifts your self-concept significantly and quickly. You describe yourself differently after one bad review. One person's praise makes you revise upward immediately. Your self-image is porous. Why it happens. When you have no stable internal picture of yourself, every external signal fills the void. Feedback becomes the primary input to self-knowledge, rather than one of many. Poor feedback management is one of the drivers behind team tension, and how managers handle that tension often comes down to exactly this vulnerability. Why it matters. This creates a self-concept that is constantly reactive, never settled. You cannot make reliable decisions about your own development because the picture keeps changing based on who last spoke to you. Strong leadership voice requires a self-concept that can hold its shape under pressure. What to do? Before acting on feedback, write down what you believe to be true about yourself in that area before receiving it. Then ask whether the feedback reveals new information or simply shifts your ranking. The distinction matters. Eamon's note. I once rewrote my entire understanding of my strengths after one conversation with a difficult colleague. It took me months to see that his words had not revealed a truth, they had replaced one. The root that produces all 6. Each of these mistakes is a symptom. The disease beneath them all is the same, an absent internal compass. Self-awareness requires a reference point that belongs to you. Your own values, your own standards, your own honest history of what you have done and why. When that internal reference point is underdeveloped, comparison rushes in to fill the gap. It feels like self-knowledge. It produces none. The comparison habit is not a character flaw. It is what happens when introspection has never been given its own tools. Most people are taught to evaluate themselves in relation to others from childhood, in school, at work, in almost every context that matters. The inner life really gets the same training. Understanding how confidence and competence interact is part of this picture, and how some people build team synergy faster than others often comes down to who's developed that internal compass and who's not. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. A diagnostic checklist for comparison-driven thinking. Read each statement. Answer honestly with yes or no. Number 1. I regularly describe my strengths in terms of how they compare to others rather than what I can specifically do. Number 2. My confidence level in a room shifts significantly depending on who else is present. Number 3. I feel a noticeable lift when a peer underperforms or misses a goal. Number 4. I struggle to assess my own work as good or poor without checking how it compares to someone else's. Number 5. Progress that no one else can see feels less real or meaningful to me. Number 6. My self-description has shifted significantly after a single critical conversation or piece of feedback. Number 7. I find it easier to explain my value by referencing who I'm better than by describing what I actually bring. Scoring 0 to 1 yes. Your internal compass is functioning. Watch for creeping comparison in high-pressure periods. 2 to 3 yes. Comparison is affecting your self-knowledge in specific areas. The checklist tells you where to start. 4 to 5 yes. Comparison has become a primary tool for self-assessment. The work of rebuilding internal standards is urgent. 6 to 7 yes. Your self-concept is largely constructed from external rankings. The first move below is not optional. It is necessary. Where to start? You cannot rebuild self-knowledge by thinking more carefully about yourself. The comparison habit is also a thinking habit. It runs in the background of reflection itself. The first move is structural. Pick one question that has no comparative answer and answer it in writing before you open any external feedback this week. Try, what do I know to be true about my own performance in this area, based on my own observation? Not how did I do compared to, not what did others think. What do you, yourself, observe? Do this once, then do it again next week. Conversations that once felt terrifying begin to shift when you come to them with a self-concept that does not need the room to hold it up. And when pressure mounts, knowing what triggers you matters to nonverbal communication in tense situations and understanding how the amygdala hijack escalates under pressure both depend on having a stable, grounded picture of yourself before the moment arrives. The roots go deep, and so does the repair. But it begins the same way it always has, with one honest question asked in private, answered without looking sideways. Comparing yourself to others will always feel like useful information. Your job is to want something better than useful. Your job is to want true. Frequently asked questions. How does comparing yourself to others damage self-awareness? Comparing yourself to others gradually replaces your own internal standards with external benchmarks. Instead of asking what you genuinely think, feel, or value, you start asking how you measure up. Over time, you lose touch with your own perspective and mistake social standing for self-knowledge. What are the signs that social comparison is corrupting your self-awareness? Common signs include defining your strengths by how they rank against others, feeling unsettled when someone outperforms you in your area of confidence, changing your self-assessment based on who's in the room, and struggling to evaluate your own work without comparing it to someone else first. Can comparing yourself to others ever improve self-awareness? Occasionally, noticing a gap between yourself and someone else can reveal a genuine blind spot, but this only helps when you use it to examine your own values and behaviors, not to rank yourself. The moment comparison becomes your primary tool for self-assessment, it corrupts more than it clarifies. How do you rebuild self-awareness after too much social comparison? Start by asking questions that have no comparative answer. What do I actually value here and why? Rebuild a personal measure for each area of your work or life that does not depend on anyone else being better or worse. Consistent solo reflection, without reference to others, restores your internal compass over time. Why is comparing yourself to others so hard to stop? Because it delivers a short-term sense of orientation. When you're unsure of your own standing, comparing yourself to others feels like information. It gives you a quick answer. The problem is that it answers the wrong question, and the habit becomes automatic before you notice its cost to your self-knowledge. What is self-awareness in emotional intelligence? Self-awareness in emotional intelligence is the ability to accurately observe your own thoughts, emotions, values, and behaviors as they happen. It means knowing why you respond the way you do, not just that you responded. It is the foundation every other emotional intelligence skill depends on. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.